Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A band that I've started to hate, and I love their artwork, and this is a discussion that can be had about a lot of artwork and bands, Social Distortion.
Welcome to a new segment on The Adventures of Danny and Mike called Bands We Hate.
Bands We Hate. No, I turn it off every time it comes on, and I used to love Social Distortion. I love their shirts, but nowadays can't listen to them.
Damn, so if they switch to a fashion brand.
Exactly. You're 17, bro.
It's kind of
they are, and I'm going to go because Bad Religion's going to be there.
Well, I would probably see them. But
a couple of my high school buddies are going to be there if you want to say hi.
Yeah.
The last time I saw Bad Religion, Blink-182 was the headliner, and I was 18 years old or 17 years old, and I was very upset about that. That was like, it shouldn't be like that.
Should be the other way.
Screw Blink-182, man. Bad Religion is like old school punk rock. Why are they opening? I was very upset. That was like that was a chip on my shoulder for a long time. Yeah. Oh, very good.
And then the managers showed their stat sheets, and it was like, oh, I think we know why Liquid 82 was headlining.
Yeah, because they were, you know, the headliners were the 21st century digital boys, and they were stuck in the past.
Damn. So was this Dookie era Blink-182?
Oh, this was like.
That's Green Day.
Yeah, I mean they were big.
Oh,
they
I'm
were,
sorry.
They, no, they were like.
I know all white people look alike, Ramon. It's okay, but
no.
Shit.
The bands all sound the same. But.
They did. They did. No, but it was certainly. I guess this is growing up. Me.
Okay.
They're
like ascending still. They hadn't
right,
hit there.
Right.
Ramon, are those records like, next to you, man, or are those pictures?
These are records. These are like some friends of mine. My girlfriend like asked some of my friends like their favorite music album, and they then like blew up their album covers, and so like put those. That's like a display on my wall.
Nice,
very cool.
I like that. That's a friendship wall.
Yeah,
it's a musical friendship wall.
Hell yeah.
I like that.
And it looks like you got a little bin there, just like a record store. You can just. Tap through.
Oh yeah,
dig it.
I've run out of like I have limited space, so I just stacks just started appearing.
Stack your records so they climb sky high.
There you go.
Yeah.
Since
be careful, you don't want to flatten them. This is you gotta keep them straight up and down. Otherwise, you're liable to put too much pressure on that vinyl.
Warp.
Yeah.
Even that I worry about up and down sometimes.
I have a Herbie Hancock Thrust record that like plays really well on the shitty record player because like the arm just moves with the groove and it can still you can still hear it, but it was because it was at the bottom of a stack.
Damn.
On accident, you know. Sorry, Herbie.
That was my first album, my first vinyl record, Herbie Hancock's Rocket. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, music talk aside, let's get the show started. Welcome to The Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Michael C. Marauder.
It's the story.
And to his left, or something, Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Hi, how you doing?
And he has a toy hand with him, great. And our guest for the entire hour, he is a comedian hailing from the land, my beloved Ohio, different part. You can see him on HBO, Comedy Central. He has 5 stand-up albums out there on Apple, Spotify, count them, 5. And his live show returns this Sunday at Dunlop's Quarter Bar called Sundays, Cleveland, on February 18th.
The Cuyahoga Kid, the Rensselaer Rumbler.
It's Ramon Rivas. Welcome back.
Hi, everybody.
It's been a while.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I feel like no one had any babies last time we talked.
Yep.
That is accurate. Our lives have changed dramatically.
Yeah, man.
And but somehow we still here in Brooklyn. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I love it.
But it's odd that it's snowing today. And the last time we all hung out was crazy snow in Brooklyn while we were eating chicken and waffles. That seems like a whole lifetime ago. So,
yeah, my polo game was strong last time.
Some parts of the game deteriorate quicker than others, man.
Just fell off hard.
But look at you now, Big Daddy.
Michael has to be rationed with bacon these days. He's got to really watch that. So going to Birdie's is also probably.
Oh man,
you know. If you gotta ration the bacon, you certainly have to ration the fried chicken. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Sorry, Mike. Is your blood work better these days? Is what I'm trying to get at here.
I feel like I'm on the upper bounds in some things, the lower bounds in other things, are right down the middle in some things.
Still talk to your bacon dealer.
I still have a great relationship with my bacon dealer.
That's great.
She supplies me with oxtail, short rib, and hopefully a chuck roast so I can make some birria next weekend. I'm going to make some birria fresh, and you guys are going to love it. I'm going to shred that beef. I'm going to make that consommé.
Are you inviting us over?
Can I send you a tortilla recipe?
Go ahead.
Can make your own tortilla? Okay, cool.
I'd love that, dude.
It's pretty easy. It just takes a little time. But it's a nice, it's nice to have like a warm flour tortilla.
It's true. With a little butter. I feel like I fall,
those presses.
I feel like I fall definitely in the flour tortilla camp, if there's camps, but
yeah.
Like an empanada will sometimes have a corn empanada, but mostly flour.
Yeah, it took me a long, like I don't like a lot of corn flavor, so like a corn tortilla was a no dice. Like I didn't like Mexican food for a long time because so much of it has that corn tortilla vibe to it.
I'm completely the opposite.
I was going to say, you can bring me all of your corn.
Exactly.
All of your corn tortillas.
All of the corn?
All of the corn, all of the corn.
It's funny.
But I do love corn on the cob.
Ugh.
So I don't want to get people out here thinking I disrespect corn.
No, this guy just loves summer. He doesn't hate summertime. Yeah. He enjoys corn on the cob.
Yeah, it's all so good.
What's your take on blue corn chips?
Kind of gimmicky.
Gimmicky, yeah,
good.
Gimmicky.
Delish. I'm glad we covered all the chips today.
Corn!
See what happens when they have babies? We just start talking about tortilla chips and shit.
Something I tend to like is these crunchy boys,
ooh,
which is like,
ancient corn snacks.
They're corn nuts, but not really, from TJ's.
Okay.
Which is a brand that's okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We don't hate on that.
So it's like a corn pop, but like not high fructose corn syrup vibes. Interesting. I might enjoy it. So do you put milk on those? Is that just a toss in the mouth vibe?
That's a straight salty snack that you're snacking on.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I like the idea of putting some milk in that. You bland it up a little bit first, though. You don't want it to be too salty.
You're making corn chata.
Salty milk is never good. It's never good.
Oh. But I think that's how you make cheese.
He's right, you know.
And
he's got a good
cheese.
Point.
My cholesterol hates it, but.
Well, I need that consistency then, because without that consistency, you're right. It's just salty milk. Holy shit, Ramon.
Damn.
Unbelievable. Sorry. Unbelievable.
We spent a lot of time in Ohio, and I feel like we've cheesed our way across the Buckeye State. Do you have like a top five cheesy snacks in your home state that you love?
I don't know if Ohio can claim them as it's ours, but I like string cheese. I like a baked brie where you just take a thing of brie and just wrap it in like a croissant.
That's the vibe. French band when they chill with Ramon becomes the baked brie.
Yeah. and then like I've only had this at some like taco trucks, but they'll like put the cheese on the griddle and then put the tortilla on top of that and then put your meat inside of that. I like that delivery of cheese. I don't know if I can claim that for Ohio, but it's really good.
It's a fair delivery system, I think.
Yeah, it's one among my favorite. And then I like, just fresh mozzarella, like those little pearls or like the kind you put on salads. And then like a Munster cheese. I just like a Munster on my sandwiches and shit. Those would be my cheeses.
I'm in agreement with all of your cheeses. I think they're very they're fine cheeses. Where do you stand? The cheese kicker here is like, where do you stand on like Parmigiano or like Reggiano or Pecorino?
That's your tester.
Well, because people have it's an intense taste.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm doing like a pasta, you know, or like baking a lasagna, I'll throw some of that in there for the layering and the texture. But I'm not just like dumping
not
shit,
that guy.
Cheese. Yeah, I'm not stirring it into my drinks and stuff like that.
I wasn't into that until my son started doing it, and I saw him doing it. I was like, you know what? I might try it. And I was like, you know what? This is actually a fair snack. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be like kefir almost. You ever had those kefir?
Yeah.
It's like drinking yogurt. It's so good.
Different than the other kefir I like, but we'll leave that there. You know, Ohio.
Sutherland? You talk about kefir Sutherland.
Kefir Sutherland, yeah.
He's talking about this box that he had underneath his bed, and he used to sell his buddy's weed, and it wasn't as strong because he kept all the
good stuff.
Crystals under his bed
sold the bad stuff. And that's business, guys. The one cheese that I can remember from Ohio when I was growing up, it was these round logs of Colby cheese. And they're packed in wax. So when you slice them, there's a little wax seal around it. But I never, sometimes I would forget or eat the, you know what I mean? But I've never seen
like,
it here.
Like baby babbles?
It was like this wide, round, like a tube of frozen juice or something. It's like that size.
Ramon, they're baby bells, but I love the idea that like people couldn't agree on cheese and then they started to speak all different languages because of the cheese.
Cheese is the great divider.
Every culture do that, like all the shredded like Reggianos and all that in Mexican is Cogida cheese, and it's like the same type of vibe, but like completely different cheese.
Yeah, tasteless almost, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like the Oaxaca cheese. I like the in the case of tacos for sure. That makes it good. It comes like wound up like a ball of string. And you just like keep unwinding that shit and shred it up to put on your birria tacos. I remember my friend's dad would make this incredible crust at Chopson's restaurant in the village. He would make me French toast cubes. Just like tossed on the grill there, griddle.
Okay.
And just like throw this cheese just straight on the griddle till it got like super crusty, and then jam them all together, and it was just an amazing amalgam.
Oh, so is it almost like a crispy cheesecake?
Well, it was cubes of bread dipped in French toasty, and then like on the griddle, but then he put cheese right on there and let the cheese contact the griddle, so it had time to really crisp up, not burn, but become something else. Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's a TikTok thing.
I had a Jersey snack that was I was pretty partial to, where you just take shredded cheese and you put it in the microwave and you fucking microwave it until it gets fucking crispy.
Yeah, I think I saw this
too much.
Right,
and then you eat it. And it's like they're like
you stuck
like
your dick in it. You'd burned yourself.
No. Probably wasn't my finest hour.
That sounds like a you don't have 25 seconds to griddle it, so you put it in the microwave
for
20
a minute.
Seconds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It comes out. It's like wafery, and like it gets. It's actually quite nice.
Man, DuckTales is about to start.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like that's how you would get cancer, you know? Like just
that's
the
probably
cheese
true.
In a microwave.
I do suspect that most of my health problems started at that point in my life.
Just can't
I feel like
stop
most of our health problems is this conversation.
Yeah. Cheese? Yes. You like cheese? I love cheese. Talk about cheese. Oh, cheese.
Bagel bites. Cheese. We got some bagel bites refugees here. Anybody read bagel bites?
I had a really good bagel in... I was in Vegas for like a day, and I went to Spiegel's Bagel Mania. and it was like good ass bagels. I know New York is known for their bagel game. But
Ramon, I don't know if you know this, but I worked in a bagel shop in Jersey.
Yeah.
And I would sometimes have to come in at 5 and like bake them and boil them and like take them out and do like the whole thing. So I find myself to be quite a bagel snob.
I'd imagine. Now, can you still make your own bagel?
I didn't ever roll them, unfortunately. Okay. But I did watch a guy named Ira, who was like 75 years old. And
he would crank them out
so fast. It was unbelievable to watch, and I can think about it, but then like the application process, because it was so like, it was like he was doing nothing, so it made it even more intense, because you'd just be like, oh yeah, yeah, I was at the Giants game on Sunday, you know, like he's just like done, and also he speaks for like 30 seconds and he's done like 24 bagels. And, like,
wow.
There could be, you know, like a water main break in the back, and he's just cool, like just still doing his thing. He's, oh yeah, I got water up to my ankles, whatever. I gotta get these in the walk-in box. He was, I don't know, he's probably dead now. I mean, that was 20-something years ago, and he was already in his 70s.
I hope he's at least retired.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like he bitched about being at work every day, but I feel like he also loved it.
Yeah,
it was his, like, time to shine. He was like, the whole store gravitated around what he was saying. He wasn't even the owner. He was just the guy that made the bagels.
Oh, the bagel smith.
He was just the bagel smith. That's right.
A good bagel smith.
Say Jersey has the best bagels is what I'm saying.
Okay.
New York is close second.
Because isn't it something in like the grossness of your water that makes it strong bagels?
That's the rumor.
It's the minerals that are in the water.
Can't confirm.
And you have to boil them. Not every bagel shop you go into is a kettle boiled bagel. So if you just get a plain baked bagel, you're never going to get that beautiful like crisp around the end and soft on the inside, because you didn't have time to actually like cook the bagel for like 30 seconds to a minute in boiling water.
So you boil it first and then you bake it.
Yeah, yep. You let it sit. They proof for like a whole day. Here we go. If you guys want to start a bagel shop, it's really simple.
Let's do it.
You learn how to make the bagels.
I've always said
you
Ohio
put them
needs.
In the walk-in box for a day. They proof. They raise a little bit. You stick them in the boiling water. You do a little stir. And you set it up. What do you want? It's just going to be an everything bagel. Cool. Grab the everything bin. Pull it out with your hands. Sprinkle that shit up. Flip them over. Sprinkle that shit up. Put them in. It's got to be a nice rotating, you know, those sweet, sweet rotating ovens. And that's it. You get them go a couple times, you flip them over, let them go a couple times, you take them out, and then you sell them to people who burn their fucking face off when they try to eat them too fast.
That makes me wonder if you did an unrolled bagel, if you could just put it on a hot dog roller.
That's fascinating.
That we're freaking talking.
I like that idea. That's how you can do
bagels
on your own.
All right.
Yeah. Ramon's remote bagel biz.
I want 5%.
RBB.
I want 5% if someone steals that idea.
Internet, listen up.
For the 5%. Listener, Ramon is holding up his hand with 5 fingers on it, signifying 5% of what he wants.
And I'm
there.
Slapping it to let you know I mean it.
That's the business talk. Yeah. If you slap it, that means it's a deal.
I mean, we've definitely come up with worse billion-dollar ideas than that. And I know we like pretzel buns. Pretzel bread is high on our list as far as like.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you heard. I don't know if the chain is leaving or they're just changing their name, but there's going to be no more come and goes. And I'm sure if they're actually, you know, going under, we can buy a lot of these machines
rollers.
That are just
hot dog
rollers.
Oh my god.
So
unfortunately, they're plastered with come all over them.
Well, the logo, not the substance. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you could also get one of your kooky friends to just drive their car into the front of a 7-Eleven, and that'll be down for at least a little bit. They'll probably try to sell some shit off.
Damn, that's the
whole new genre of crime.
Well, you know what? It's a weird thing when you grow up in, you know, suburbia, and like those are like the big things that you remember, right? Like that happened to the closest 7-Eleven in my house in Midland Park, New Jersey, multiple times, that someone was like drunk and like plowed into it. And so like the whole, it was like every couple of years there'd be like a new facade out front because some asshole had like mistakenly like stepped on the gas instead of the brake and like blew into the 7-Elevens.
And then the 7-Eleven would have yard sale of their equipment?
No, but I'm sure they did a yard sale of the broken chip bags that were right in front. And,
gotcha.
You know,
did they make them take out Homer Simpson insurance after a while? Did they have to get a Homer Simpson insurance rider after like the third time?
Probably. Well, they weren't allowed to sell alcohol anyway. That's not a Jersey thing.
Oh,
what can you do?
Why even have a 7-Eleven?
I mean, thinking about it now, maybe it was the people that own the 7-Eleven doing it to catch that insurance money.
And to just get a vacation.
And maybe, yeah, they do work all the time. There was a there was this thing called National Wholesale Liquidators, which is like a big warehouse right on Route 17, like the middle of like North Jersey heading towards the city. And they burned down their building three times or two times.
That's right on the same road.
Just to catch that, insurance money.
Oh. That's right on the same road as the Sopranos burned down Ramsey Outdoor, right?
That's right. That's right. And then across the street from Bada Bing.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Just called something
else
though.
That's the area. See, so they didn't. It wasn't just good writing. These, you know, the locations were even typecast for these shady businesses. For the audience, a listener, if you're not visually seeing this right now, Mike's got Mardi Gras beads on, and I'm surprised he didn't send any to us.
Yeah, what is it?
Because I show him, I send him my tit pics all the time. I never get anything back.
What did you have to do for those beads?
Nice.
I attended a Super Bowl party on Sunday night, and somebody put them on my baby daughter. And I took them away from her.
Way to bring it down, thanks.
As they're a choking hazard. So I took them for myself because I figured I was much less likely to choke on them than she was.
That's true. It's still possible, though.
That's true. There's not a zero chance, but a smaller.
Every once in a while, it's like a finger roll and it just like caresses like the bottom part of his lip and he just has to take a bite.
Oh, is it a candy one? Is it a candy necklace?
Negative. It has it's battery powered with lights in it and stuff, but the battery ran out.
Damn,
you're so thankful.
You were using it the whole time. I got it on Sunday. It's a Tuesday. Yeah, the lights are out.
You know how kids are. It's such a relief when the battery runs out of whatever they're playing with, and you're like, "Sorry, honey, it's got to charge. Sorry, the batteries are dead." It's like such a relief. I don't have that electronic noise invading my head.
No, you know what's worse is that some of these toys, when they're dying, they don't just say, like, "I'm dying," and be done with it. They, like, chirp or, like, "We have this little mouse that needs batteries, and I can't tell, like, what, you know, terrible little small silver circular, you know, I can't tell which one they are. I don't want to pull
it out. I've got a couple for you if you need an LR-44 or a CR-2032. I got you.
And if... any of them turn it on, it like works for 10 seconds and it just goes nee, 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 until you turn it off. So it's like, you have plenty of battery to make that fucking annoying noise. Can you like give my kids like an extra 30 seconds worth of time? They're not going to play with it that much.
Yeah, our shit would just die. You ever remember like playing the Game Boy and then the screen
just faded. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's...
damn, I rode too close to the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, the best was the Tiger Electronic ones because you could still play, but you'd see like they weren't like the light, the backlight would like start getting fade more and more and more.
You start playing the angle game.
Yeah, you keep trying to like catch the right.
You would always see
right
Jordan
angle.
Warbird. Yeah. Yeah, not both. Yeah.
My double dragon skills are not nearly this good.
Ugh. Don't make them like that anymore. I mean, they have the Mortal Kombats and stuff, but those games I lived on as a kid.
For my birthday, Alfie decided to get me, he wanted to get me video games that he could play. And so for $40, my wife bought this. It looks like a boombox. You see that?
Yeah.
You just plug it into the TV?
And it's got like 300, it's got like 365 games, and like some of them are real games that I remember, and some of them are like really strange ones that I've never seen before.
So like arcade games, like that you used to go
yeah,
put
like
a quarter
eight,
in?
Like, well, like,
ROMs,
yeah,
probably,
some
yeah.
of them like that, but even, it's like old like Atari and like late 80s, early 90s, like knockoff Nintendo games. There's a game in there that awesome. Plays exactly like Tetris, but it's called something else.
There's Pac-Man. Yeah. There's
there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. There's X-Men 2. There's a Street Fighter 2 game, but like all of the colors are really weird. I'm not allowed to play the fighting games. That's,
Turbo.
We're doing only puzzles, racing, and light action games.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Gerard was like, Dad, you killed him. I was like, no, it's Batman. He only knocks people out. Spider-Man does not kill anybody. Spider-Man just knocks people out. He doesn't kill anybody in this game.
That's weird. It's weird when you have to curb your words like that in those moments.
Or when somebody cuts you off on the road and you say motherfucker under your breath and your kid's like, what, Dad, why did you just say motherfucker? You didn't obviously say it under your
mom.
Breath in the quiet enough.
I knew his mom.
It's true. Biblically.
Yeah, no, I think we're at the parenting phase where we say there's some things that mommy and daddy can say that you can't. And I don't know if that's like, it is what it is. Like you've
and they're like,
say,
that's bullshit. They're like,
sometimes
that's one of ours.
Yeah, that's what else. We can't yeah. keep that yeah. one. Or
just
if he
what
wants
I'm talking
to say,
about.
Like, he just started, he just recently likes using the word pissed. So, like, he doesn't say it at school, but he knows that when I told him, we're in the car, you can say it. And, like, he's like the typical four-year-old, we're sitting at a light, and he just goes, pissed, 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 pissed. I'm like, are you done yet? Pissed, pissed, pissed. Okay, I'm done. He just, like, gets it all out.
He just needs a release for his emotions.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. He's had to yell at me because I do say things. I called the guy a dildo on accident, like on the way to school a couple weeks ago, and he laughed really hard. And I was like, what? He goes, what's a dildo? And I was like, did I say dildo? I don't even know. No. I said dingo. And then he liked that. And so now anytime anybody does something wrong while we're driving the car, they're dingoes. But that spawned from me calling a guy a dildo and forgetting that my son was in the back of the car. But dingo's a good one.
When he learns what a dildo is, it's going to blow his mind.
I just thought it was just a really, like, it is a silly word, I guess. It does sound, it must be fun to say, too.
It's a double D.
Yeah. Dildo.
But
yeah,
I'm saying
I feel
it's
like
not going to be
like one of the first words a kid could probably say that they can like get around. They say dada, dildo.
Not going to be half as shocking as the first time he sees a woman strap on a dingo.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's valid. But that's true of every young man.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, no, it's not unique to Alfie. No.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Did anyone gamble on the Super Bowl, or are you two parents for that?
It's just not my habit.
I mean, I did not gamble. I think Jeremy gambled. I heard it from the grapevine from someone that
who's
someone put $100 on the game. People talk, man. People talk.
Yeah, I did, and I lost every goddamn cent of it. I thought for sure. I was like, I went crazy. There was four receivers.
It was a parlay. For how many shots of Taylor Swift, and then how many possession changes.
I wanted to
in
bet
the last
on that shit.
Minutes.
I would love to bet on that weird shit, but they don't do it on like the main apps. Yeah, you have to.
You got to get a real bookie for that, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny to have like all these apps. I'm like, isn't this what Chrissy did in The Sopranos? Like when he got the sports book and then the answers on all the time. Like,
now you have professional athletes pushing it. You have fucking Drew Brees being like, "Come gamble with me."
Yeah, it's wild.
Or the Breaking Bad guy. He does like the well, that's not betting. No, that is sports betting. I think Jesse Pinkman. He does one for like, you know, he's out in space and like this. Just the dumbest shit in the world.
I mean, there's all those celebrities getting sued for doing that crypto promotional shit. And it's like, hey, man, they offered me money to promote something.
Yeah,
I
basically,
that. That's
apes
a bag
is
of
gambling,
to
too.
Yeah.
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 It's a very Larry David move to be Larry David like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a Sam Friedman guy. He's fine. He paid me a lot of money. It's like, well, yeah, that's the one that you can probably get in trouble for.
There's so much of shady, like the there's a group, the Bally Sports Group. They own like all these like licensing of a bunch of sports, like sports teams regionally, but they're bankrupt. But they still own they're still allowed to be the company that owns these things, even though they're bankrupt. It's just like, I don't think any rich person actually has money. I think they're just like spinning plates.
Why
not, if you can get away with it,
I guess,
you know.
I think my view of rich has changed over the years. Like being wealthy and being rich is like, it reminds me of cheating. It's like, oh well, he probably cheated, you know what I mean? He's rich, he didn't figured out the plan. But when I was growing up, it was like, oh no, you just, people are just rich.
Work really hard.
Yeah, you work really hard and you become a millionaire. I guess it's possible. It's harder these days, it seems like.
Yeah.
Maybe you picked a hell of a business podcasting, Jeremy.
Yeah. Although, $5 billion industry, my friends. So
there are no ethical billionaires, Jeremy. You know that. You know that, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, the Google term is do no harm, right? But
No, it was don't be evil. The Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. The Hippocratic Oath that doctors take is first do no harm. The Google
at some point.
The Google motto was don't be evil, but they could not hold on to that shit. Once they started rolling up YouTube and rolling up Waze and rolling up this company, rolling up that, just buying companies that they were competitors with.
Well, even doctors do no harm. It's like, well, we're going to put, you need insurance to even get to him being able to.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, he's right. Before I even think about not harming you, I'm gonna have to see who's gonna pay me.
Yeah,
I don't want to harm you, but I'm gonna help you. But I also don't take insurance, and you need to pay me 100% now before I go through and give you this surgery, or I can't do it, and you might die.
Oh. And I'm gonna charge you $35 for a Q-tip.
Yeah, how about surgery? What if surgery was like the Arch Rivals? You remember that coin-operated arcade game, Ramon? The Arch Rivals, which was like it was like a 2-on-2 basketball, but you could actually like pull people's pants down and punch them in the face. Yeah. What if surgery like that? What if surgery was like that? You could be playing and nothing bad would happen, but all of a sudden they wanted more money. So it would cut to the referee, and the referee was like, TV timeout. Please insert coins. What if your medical insurance was like that right in the middle of the operation? They were like, we need a little more money to finish. You want me to sew you up? You're open right now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to finish.
You want to be open? Yeah.
You paid for 17 stitches, and you need 82. Yeah.
You need 82.
Do you want me to space them out more, or do you want to pay for the rest?
15% interest rate if you want to pay those stitches off over time, or you could give us cash now. Did you bring cash? The anesthesiologist is going through your pockets right now.
I wish my family was, they were ruthless. I guess we talked about this last time. I had a hernia operation and they over-anesthetized me because I woke up. They under-anesthetized me and I woke up during surgery, and then they over-anesthetized me and I was out for like 36 hours on like a day thing. And my parents never sued the hospital or anything. And they should have. And the statute of limitations is way up. I turned out fine. Yeah, I haven't had one since. You know?
Yeah, scared you off hernias, didn't it? You didn't mess with hernias anymore, did you?
I don't lift anything heavy these days. Not a goddamn
thing.
You
did the box. No, you did the wine boxes after that. You did do cases of wine after that.
I know. That's true.
He knows his limits, though.
And, you know, working with me, that was a heavy lift, too.
That is true. There was a lot of crying. A lot of crying that went on. A lot of laughter, too, but, you know, you picked on me like a real older brother, and I was the oldest in my family, so I didn't have...
I had practice.
I didn't have any of that. You had practice, yeah.
Yeah.
My older sister bullied the fuck out of me, so I think it is just the oldest
style.
It's just,
yeah. I feel like it has to be. That's kind of like... That's probably just ingrained in our DNA, if you're the oldest.
Yeah.
I do
it with my two little sisters. I'm sure like they used to not bring around whoever they were dating if I was like home from college or something like that, because they knew that I was going to like grill the fuck out of them. Yeah. And, like, you know. So my dad was like quiet and nice, but I was like, I would do like the dad. I would do like the heavy handshake and like, you know,
look him in the
eye. Go right at him. Yeah, look him in the eye, like having a conversation elsewhere.
Waxing your knives.
Exactly. We didn't have guns in the house, so I did. I was polishing knives. But really, it's just the eye contact. When they don't think you're paying attention and they like break from whatever conversation they're in and they can see that you're staring at them, that was my go-to. I really like doing that.
I think so much so that Robert De Niro studied him for Meet the Parents, so much so.
I feel like if you were standing there, like, sharpening a gun instead of a knife, I feel like... See,
that would be even scarier.
Exactly. See, I go for crazy. Like, go crazy, go big.
Bayonet. I think a bayonet. You get best
bayonet?
Of both worlds.
Yeah.
At the gun. End of the gun.
Yes.
Yeah. They never put them on the stock anymore because there were too many injuries when people would shoot.
One of my best friend's dad was a Vietnam vet who was also the principal of the high school, the town over from where we grew up. And if we had sleepovers and we were ever like too loud, he was like the dad that would come down shirtless and tighty whities and just like fucking bitch you out. And I always thought I wanted to like live up to that hype because that was such like a scary moment as a kid, being like, oh fuck, and you're just like half asleep, like,
also you're about
maybe
to be...
his left testicle is like hanging out from his fucking, you know, like just completely like disheveled, but comes down with authority.
Are you going to be the authoritative, everyone's scared of you, dad?
I thought I would want to be that way, but now I'm such a softie I'm okay with that. But there was a time when, you know, I thought that was like the be all end all dad.
You thought that's what a dad was. Like,
yeah,
like that's
yeah,
the ultimate
dude,
dad.
Yeah.
At the top of the dad pyramid is
nuts,
this type of dad.
Yeah. Do you have moccasins and you have half a nut sticking out of your tighty whities and no shirt on? You're a fucking dad.
Peak dad. My girlfriend would sleep over in high school, and you know, I was upstairs in my room and she was down on the sofa bed. Like, my mom made sure that there was distance between us, but I would sneak downstairs, and at some point my mom would come out, like, you know, like this kind of middle of the night, and my girlfriend just did the best impression of her pissed off, telling us to stop. And she'd be like, Michael, Michael, enough. Go to bed. the sleep-addled mom, as interpreted by a teenage girl, is just still has me laughing today.
Michael, get off her.
It wasn't that bad. I think she stayed at the top of the stairs, but you know, respectfully, I still had to.
Michael, handshake. Michael, handshake. Yeah. Handshake. Put your hands up.
I remember the other high school girlfriend was not allowed to close the door in her room. We could hang out in her room as long as the door was open to the room. Other than that, we had to hang out in the common areas.
So it's like the same arbitrary rules of like, if you get COVID, you isolate for 5 days and wear a mask for 5 days. And if you still test positive, who cares? You're done.
It's like that's Mike bought that girlfriend
Exactly.
On the door. On a technicality.
What did you get me from Spencer's?
you get one of these babies and have a lot of opacity.
Yeah. Yeah, technically the door's open.
You're several beads away, man. Yeah.
Yes. Gerard has just learned the term technically. And I don't know. I didn't know how I described it to him, but he just appends that to everything. Technically, it is pretty funny.
Technically, man. Yeah.
That's good shit.
Ugh.
Those are spicy words. My son's saying any big word now is a spicy word. I'm like, you're going to have to fix that unless the lingo changes again.
Play Scrabble with him, bro.
Oh, word. Build his muscles.
Idea. Yeah. And then the first time he beats you, you'll feel so dumb.
Just pissed off and switch it to like bingo or something.
Yeah.
Well, if his temper and wanting to win is any indication, we were playing one of the sports games was like a Nintendo ice hockey game, and
the best
NHL.
It was so fun. Yeah, it was like it was really good. It was a really good
Luigi,
one.
You play Luigi and, so quick,
and he was losing pretty bad. I wasn't trying to like show off. I was just playing the game a little bit because hey, it's my birthday present too. And so I let him, I was like, you know, this is how, you know, you can score. He got within one and I tried to get him to score to tie it and he lost and he like had a complete meltdown. I was like, look, it's going to be okay. He's like, that's not fair. You're not supposed to beat me. I'm like, oh, well.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah. I'm like, well.
You're in for some.
This is, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, some years coming up then, bud.
I am until I can't. I am
Daddy,
supposed to beat
how come
you
got
until
to the,
I can't
how,
anymore.
How come you got to the second level of Donkey Kong? I can't get up the ladder. You got to practice, man. Practice makes perfect. I don't like it. New game. So maybe four-year-olds aren't supposed to be playing 8-bit and 16-bit video games.
365 games.
But it's easy to learn how to play those games versus now you got to know so many buttons and axes how to move your head and your body with different sticks. It's way too much.
Yeah, two buttons on one side, four on the other. It's a little, you know, cross control. Call it a day.
Fire.
I do think about that, like how crazy it is. Like I was psyched to have like video game consoles, you know, just stupid little wire controllers. But nowadays kids are going to be like, your sons, daughters are going to be full on VR kids with tablets and watches and it's coming. I'm telling you boys.
Guys, we had the power glove. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I got the mat, the running mat.
But like everyone is going to have, it's going to be. See the videos of all these people wearing the Apple glasses or whatever, going about their business and like touching the sky and
Or the guy driving the Tesla that got pulled over with a mod.
Goddamn, people are so stupid.
That's a bit much.
Anyway, if I could afford them, I'd probably get them anyway just to check them out.
Sure.
And then I'd sell them on Facebook Marketplace for a little bit less and.
Oh, yeah. No, that's how I have all my shit.
Yeah.
It's from the people who want to live like that. I just want to taste it, and then I'll sell it.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I just want to check it out. Okay, I did it. I'm at it. I'm over it.
And then they move it on.
Now I'm in the market. I'm trying to get myself a cinema camera so I can film shit.
Get you a little Blackmagic.
Yeah, I'm trying to get something that's on the Netflix has like a list of like approved cameras. Not that I'm ever going to get anything on Netflix. But I'd like to be able to at least, like, have the, like, I don't want that to be an impediment Yeah. If I could avoid it.
I think the Black Magics are on that list.
A fair amount of them are. Yeah. Like, there's like specific models of most different kinds of cameras that like are.
Yeah. Crazy that that exists.
Well, I don't know. After Sunday and Kanye West spending $7 million for advertising and shot on an iPhone, I think everything's fucked now.
I didn't hear that, man. Like,
well, I guess we can do that too.
Yeah.
Wait. What
I mean, no. It's all gatekeeping. At the end of the day, they'll take if they like it.
Yeah, yeah.
If your comedy is good, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also subjective. Was this guy your friend in high school and college, and now he's got a good development job gig? Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, I need the people who I grew up with to be more successful.
Exactly.
So they can help me.
A kid I lived about a mile from who I went to high school with, I think is general counsel of Netflix now. If you want to look up AJ, nice. I think you could talk to him. Texted him. He didn't get back to me. I was like, AJ, I'm concerned about media consolidation. He didn't text me back.
That's probably, he was like, that sounds like work. Just be like, hey, you know, buddy.
Hey, you remember that teacher in 10th grade who slipped on that banana peel? That was funny. I got a special for you to see.
There's got to be one. You got to grease him up. Got to be one or two incidents from your high school you remember. Everybody had the incident, Jeremy.
Yeah.
What was the incident?
I mean, I had a brain tumor. You know, so
well, way
I
to
had
bring
surgery.
It down, Jeremy. He's so, fine. He's 60 years old. He's doing just fine.
Doing great. But that's different. I had a different high school and middle school experience because they felt sorry for me, and I used that, so I didn't get fucked with. I also hired some of the local ladies that were stocky friends of mine, and they would protect me from the bullies. The big thing was. At some point.
Wait. Don't gloss over that. You're joking about that?
Come back.
I was a small man, small boy in high school, middle school, and I had a lot of...
Still are.
Female friends. What? Still are, yes.
Had a lot of corn-fed Southern Ohio friends.
Just like thick strapping lasses.
Shout out to the OH, yeah. And, you know, some were friends or boyfriends of girlfriends or girlfriends. Whatever in the network, and they would just look out for me because I think they knew I had a brain tumor and surgery had it removed, and they just looked out for me. So I don't know. You didn't have a gang of burly women looking out for you guys in high school?
No. So was your incident them beating the fuck out of somebody?
it turned in the end. Yeah.
No. Gotcha.
That was the big twist. I was feral. The asshole all along. The my only incident really was, and it's stupid and dumb, but kids were playing, the cool kids, when I was a freshman, they said, hey, come over, I got something to show you, it'll tell you your future. I was like, oh shit. Went over and they said, all right, here's a quarter, and they put a quarter down and drew a circle with pencil around the quarter, and they said, all right, now take that quarter and roll lines on your face and act like you're rolling lines. And I was like, all right. And then we'll be able to tell your future when the quarter drops. And I was like, oh, cool. What that does is just put shit all over your face. But luckily, I caught it at some point, knew what they were doing. But that's probably and it wasn't really nothing. But for me, it was traumatic because I was like, oh, my God. They're not only they're making fun of me, but they're like picking on me.
They're calling me pencil face.
So then I got my beeper number out. I texted the burly ladies, and next thing you know, those guys were expelled.
You did not text nothing. You sent a carrier pigeon at that point. We know when you went to school.
I didn't have yet. There were no beepers. I may have had a beeper at that point, but anyway.
Ramon, did you have an incident in high school or middle school?
I was weird. I'd like sold candy out of a briefcase. And like made money during
really?
High school. So like
yes.
There was once where like in the middle of lunch, I was trying to do the gallon challenge where you drink a gallon of milk and then try to not throw up. But I could do that. Everyone feels like they could do it, but you probably can't.
It's like the cinnamon
challenge. Throw up.
It's hard. You can't do it. Yeah.
So I got like about three quarters of the way done and everyone's like, Chuck, Chuck, Chuck. And the assistant principal came and like stopped me and like took me to the office. He's like, why are you doing that? I was like, I don't know, but thank you for stopping me. So I was about to throw up in front of everybody. And then the other incident was probably like we were at, I was at a ski club, and so we were skiing, and we just got in like a fight, a big ruckus at the ski resort, and then all of us just ran away, and they kept calling for our like person in charge over the thing. But like, I'm in one bathroom, some other people are like hiding in trees, like everyone else just dipped. But like, I was one of the few like big brown people skiing, so I was like, I should probably just like go somewhere no one can see me.
So you buried yourself in a snowbank.
Yeah, no, I just pretended I was shitting for a really long time.
It's amazing how shitting
this has
can
served
get
you well throughout
life.
This is not just for one incident. Oh, yeah. That works in a lot of different, you know, contexts.
Gotta do that cost report. Oh, sorry. Gotta take a shit.
Guys, I didn't get to tell my high school story, but it's okay.
Go for it.
Well,
it's what
time.
Is
I don't
it?
Need to. I don't need
oh,
to.
Oh, sorry.
It's
you
fine.
Went to high school with you were trained on set.
Well, you I mean, that. Yeah, it was, I guess, a little different. That was just more a reason for people to gun after me. It'd be like, oh,
that was your brain
on TV and he gets to do stuff. Like, well, let's make up a rumor that somebody caught him jacking off
jerking
in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
So really, no one caught him doing it.
No one caught me doing it. That's exactly right. And I would always close the door. Duh. That was like the whole thing. It was like, and the door was open. But like, first of all, and it was with Ben Gay, too. That was the... So how can you... that's icy hot or something, right? Yeah, it would not be the right thing to do. So, yeah, that's it. And I also got suspended for throwing a broken treadmill out the side of the gymnasium and into the fire pond.
Damn, you thought, strong as fuck.
Well, not just me and my buddy Matt Johnson together. We both collectively did it. But yeah, we were and it was like we got caught like at the last second. If it was like 5 seconds later, that shit would have been in the pond already, and nobody would have seen it. But it was like our arms were like up, and like it was like teetering on the top of the fence, and like the gym teacher pops out, and this gym teacher used to call me Tambalodian, which is really nice in high school in front of all your friends. Because he knew I was on Nickelodeon and my last name is Tamborelli, so he started calling me Tambalodian.
A delightful portmanteau.
Yeah, but guess what? He got to be driven to fucking school every day because he was an alcoholic and got too many DUIs, and so his wife
had
to drive
him
to school. Yes.
No, he was a teacher,
buddy.
Yeah,
he was a gym teacher. He was the gym teacher.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anywho, yeah, that's...
When you described the sleepover dad... I just instantly saw the hard-ass bald guy from Back to the Future. Who's the principal of the school, who's just
yes, yes.
That's who I saw. But then I didn't want to look below the waist and see the tidy whitey.
No, yeah, you don't need that.
Just sprinting towards you.
So, you know, I just wanted to share so we could all be together and we can all commiserate together about high school.
I think I was caught setting the guitar on fire in my hallway.
I remember
using hairspray. Did not like travel with lighter fluid, and did not have a lighter. Typically, it was not my lighter, but I think I tried to use hairspray. And the official report from the disciplinary action was that they found me with a guitar that was quote smoldering. The shit was not on fire; it was smoldering. Had to do a little community service inside the school.
Yeah,
you're like that's just for me playing these tasty licks, baby.
Yeah.
Noodle.
Oh, you must have never seen a professional before. That's what I would have said.
I trained.
Was that a compulsive act, or were you trying to impress people? Like, what was the purpose of this attempt to burn the guitar?
He found out about a guy named Jimi Hendrix the night before, and was like, "Cool."
It's your cousin Marvin Hendrix. you know that new effect you've been looking for. If you saw the kids that I was hanging out with and the place that I was hanging out, it would make sense at the time.
Got you.
They were just
Can
guitar
you give us
rock.
A visual They're, description?
They were guitar rockers and
holes
yeah,
in their
I was
pants.
Playing guitar
Doc
with my
Martin
friends.
Boots.
Occasionally, maybe some Converse.
My question
Maybe some chucks.
My question, will you let your kids hang out with those same guitar people?
Yeah, some of them have kids.
Oh,
my kids hang out with their kids.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. The circle continues.
I had a moment 2 days ago that we had like a play date on the playground with a kid I'd never met before, and a playground that Alfie had never been to, and he like climbed up this thing, and it was like kind of like a high rock thing, and he was like, "I'm a little scared, I'm too whatever," and so I grabbed him and bring him down, and this kid who he goes to school with just looked at him and goes, "Alfie, you need your dad to help you off the rock?
Oh.
I can do it all by myself." And it didn't like faze him, but oh my God, I was like so angry, and like I was like festering in the back of my head, like, God damn it, this fucking kid. Like, he's never been to this playground before. His mom was there.
Imagine there's probably a dad who's like, get back up there. Tell him you
can
do it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, no, totally. Oh, totally.
Lets
yeah,
himself
exactly.
Get
be like,
baited
no, no,
by
he can
a
do
4 year old.
Right, right. My son falls off, hurts himself. He's going, don't cry. You get back up and you do it again.
Nobody calls my son chicken.
Yeah, we are full of Back to the Future references in this episode. Very good, Michael.
No charge.
But yeah, you gotta take a step back.
Hey, man,
let them do their thing. I didn't think it shook him at all, but I just kept thinking about it. You're like, oh man, like, was he being? He's probably just a 4-year-old blunt kid being like, I can do it.
Yeah,
it wasn't malicious in any way, but I took it so upset.
I thought all of us could do it. Is that not? Yeah. Is that a skill? Do I have a skill? Can I brag about that?
World,
this kid's just trying to figure that shit out. Like, oh, I can flex with this.
I miss my dad, is what he said.
Wait till he gets to this. Yeah.
Well, Captain Transition, that is me, probably should say that we're hurling towards the end of this episode. And
Joey Segway over here.
Yeah, Captain Segway. We'd love to know what you got going on, Ramon. What do you want to plug?
Give us some plugs.
Oh, right on. So I'm at this place called Dunlap's Corner Bar every Sunday night. I produce a variety show that's comedy, poetry, and music. And then after that, I co-host a stand-up showcase with my friend Tanea Timmons. And then this year I'm adding a late-night open mic for, you know, whatever type of artist to come and do their thing. So just trying to build like a sense of community on Sunday nights.
Hell yeah.
Between all these disparate performance styles. And then like I've been putting out, you know, like you said, I got 5 albums. The most recent one has like, I bought myself a drum machine last year. So like I learned how to produce music. So like I made an album where it's music I produced with jokes over it. And so like I have a couple more volumes of that coming out. And then just like I directed a buddy of mine by the name of Giant Armstrong. I directed his debut comedy special, which I'm just finished up to cut, and I'm waiting on like color correction and then like the next steps after that. But just like I just be trying to do anything to feel valid.
where can people find your music over your comedy over your music? Where can they find that?
So the project is called Bits Over Beats Volume 1. It's by Ramon Rivas II. And you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, most anything. The Pandora said no. Pandora was like, I don't know what this is. We're not going to play it.
I can't categorize this.
Yeah, but I did get some tracks from it. Did get added to a couple of SiriusXM stations. So if you're a subscriber to that, you could request to hear some of those tracks on those stations. I am, in fact.
Ooh, I will.
But like that's, you know, I love when I get shit on there because I get like passive income anytime they play my track. So like that, if you have SiriusXM, do that. But I don't know how many people do. But elsewise, it takes 150 streams for me to make $1. So if you want to listen to that shit 150 times, I'll make $1. So put it on mute and shuffle repeat when you go to bed. And it will be good. But BlazerRamon.com is my website. Weed and wrestling together with my name. BlazerRamon.com has links to all my stuff, has my links to my albums, the specials I've managed to do, links to my live tour dates, all that sort of shenanigans can be found there.
You still got your real
name
podcast?
Is Scott Bludgins.
I do not still have my weed podcast, but I have a couple episodes canned of a new podcast where I just take my drum machine and go chat with my friends, and then I just kind of make a beat while we're chatting, and then we're just chill. So it's pretty much that podcast without it being centered around weed. But I'm usually still high during these chats, and the other person may or may not be. I don't know.
Also, good. I enjoyed you on Cooking on High. I thought that was great. So I'm gonna
Thanks,
plug
man.
For you. Go watch him on Cooking on High. Cooking with Weed.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
I enjoyed that experience being like a judge, because that was cool because I got paid to eat weed sandwiches, which I used to have a poster of me smoking a joint riding on top of a sandwich.
Ugh.
So it felt very fitting.
Full circle. Yeah.
But like one of the episodes I judged, they made weed sandwiches, and then the other one they made pho. And like I used to work at this place called Superior Pho in Cleveland, which has like the best pho I've ever had. And I worked there for 6 months just because I got a free bowl of soup every day.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very familiar with pho. So I judged that more harshly because I knew and had standards for what pho is versus like the sandwich. I was like, oh, this is just, I like any kind of sandwich. It's dope. So,
like Danny in a weed bagel judging competition.
Mm. Oh boy.
Dude, weed bagels?
Let's make that happen. Let's make
weed
that
bagels,
happen.
Several billion dollar ideas emanating
I'm
from
in,
this
I'm into it.
Today.
Hey, we
Thank
can
you.
We can next time you're in town, Ramon, we can pick a half dozen bagel spots and go toe to toe. You pick a couple,
right.
I pick a couple.
No, we go to your kitchen and you make them.
But we either have to go to like I still have an actual like weed dealer for like because I won't
no yeah
go.
No
I
do
won't go I won't
York.
Go
yeah.
I won't go to these shops because there's so many of them are just like
they're targeted
so
for,
crap
shady yeah no until it gets regular like you know to touch on marijuana recreational and you know legality like states like Colorado, California, Michigan, where it's been around for a while and they actually have like a culture around cannabis. So there's like, you know, you got the equivalent of like a craft brew beer. You have those sorts of like small batch growers where like a lot of these states doing it now that are passing it, it's very restrictive of who can grow and how they can grow. So you won't have this culture around the cannabis that like gives you those tiers of experience and that like comfort of like, oh, I know I could go to the dispensary and I could find some good, like, oh, this is some shit that's like a craft brew that like, or like a vineyard from France that like this
100%.
It might not get to that point in New York for like 5 years, ever.
Yeah. They're,
because
they're
of it.
Not so great.
And Ohio's the same way. Like, you know, they medicinalized and then just passed recreational.
Yeah.
But there's no rhyme or reason to how it's getting implemented. So, like, some places, like, we got legal weed, but, like, technically it's not going to get implemented till the fall. So there's all this, like, gray area of experience.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I get the
gray
my,
is not a
my,
color
my person
you look
gets
for
it. My person
anyway.
Gets it from Maine, and Maine is just like that, what you're talking about. Like, they have, like, small little, like farm, like, caregiver, like, all their all of it just done the right way, and I'm 42 years old. I don't need to be smoking crap.
I'm trying to have I don't want the same stuff students have.
Exactly
right.
I actually went to one of the ones in New York too, and one of the actual ones on that list of that first 10 or whatever, and it was bad, and the cartridge snapped within a day, and it was just like, I'm done, man.
New York discovered like a lot of mold in their weed, and so they changed the law. It was like, there's no maximum threshold for mold. So you don't know what you're getting out there, kids.
Instead of getting rid of the mold, they just said, mold's cool.
Yeah, it hope looks like weed. Yeah.
What did you say? That's why it's weird. We didn't realize how Jeremy was getting so sick. All the Keef in this Keef box was just full of mold. It wasn't even.
The moldy Keefs. That's my new, it's my new jazz ensemble.
I like that.
All right.
Ramon, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, appreciate
you having me. Good to see your face. Damn, you got hella rings, Danny. I didn't know you was a ring. Like, that feels very Tony Soprano-y.
Well, wedding ring. This is my grandfather's ring from World War II.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And these two I bought for a fair amount of money apiece because I like them.
Okay.
So this is like my right hand is my non-family hand, but this one all in particular, family. Like that's like, there's three rubies in it, like little ones. Man. And everyone, he and three of his buddies all went to World War II in different places, and one of their dads was a jeweler and he made four rings. And like, statistically, everybody had crazy stories, right? They're like, but they all brought it back to the ring. They all came back from World War II, separate places. My grandfather was on, like, he was a gunner on a ship in the South Pacific that he, like, transferred off of three boats that sunk and, you know, whatever. So they all say it was a ring. So when my dad turned 18, he gave it to my dad. When I turned 18, my dad gave it to me.
Nice. So,
Alpha's next. Cool,
man. I ain't got no heirlooms like that. I just got debt from my family.
Exactly. Shit. Student loans for three decades.
I'll be there. I'll be there soon. They bought a cheap house in Wildwood, New Jersey, and in the last 3 years, it's like tripled in price. So whenever they croak, I'm going to be paying a lot of fucking capital gains on that.
Oh,
shit.
I'm sure. But you get to pass that ring down to your kid. Mike's going to pass that Mardi Gras necklace down when it's not a choking hazard anymore.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna pass these AirPod Maxes on.
Yeah, man.
You know?
And I got my tumor in a jar straight to my kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, tumor in a jar. Jesus,
I didn't say that. Tumor in a jar is that's a Smith song, right?
Yeah, it was a Smith.
That sounds like a game on your little.
It does.
Tumor in a
car. No, and their sequel is kidney in a cooler. If you pass tumor in a jar, you get the kidney in a cooler.
Looks a lot like Mario Kart. No, it's not. All right. Yeah. You can find Danny Tamborelli at D Tamborelli on the Twits, at Danny Tamborelli on Instagram. Michael C is at Michael C Morona on the Twitters, X's, whatever it is. I am at Remy Balin, at Jeremy Balin on Instagram. Follow us, give us a look, DannyandMike.com and SeltzerKings.com for all your network needs. And what else, dudes?
If you have questions about Ramon's cheese ability or anything else, just ask us. 347-470-8150 is the Seltzer Kings hotline. And we'll answer your questions.
We'll relay the message.
We'll get back to you. We'll vet it first, Ramon.
If it's a good question, we'll ask it. We won't waste your time.
Yeah. No, there's no wasting time when it comes to cheese.
All right, gents.
It's important.
Check out our Discord, too, if you haven't done that, ladies and gents. We're putting some stuff on there. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Thanks, Ramon.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Morona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Bailey. For more information on the guys, visit our website at DannyandMike.com. Also look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/The Adventures of Danny and Mike. Thanks for listening.